Hello and welcome to programme 4 in this podcast for ABF Soldiers Charity. Their story is on their chest. Once again, I'm joined by Mark Smith from the Antiques Roadshow, the Medals and Military Expert. In this programme, we take you from the Boer War up to the present day through the Second and First World Wars. Of course, by now, we see the advent of total war, which means war being fought on a global basis on many fronts. To delineate that, therefore, we have different campaign medals. And to talk about that, we're going to start at the First World War. Mark, take it away.
Well, as we finished in the Boer War, we said that we would see some of these chaps again a few years later in the First World War. And the First World War started on the 4th of August 1914. And it is one of the most brutal conflicts that you could ever have wished to have been in and the world has ever seen. To commemorate that for the men who were there, it's actually quite a humble set of medals. There are two stars, and basically there are two round ones, and one sort of anomaly on the end, which we shall come to in a moment.
Interesting.
The complete range of medals are just, as you've just said, the campaign medals for the war. Now, the first one is the 1914 star, the 1914-15 star, 1914-1920 British War Medal, and the 1914-1919 Victory Medal. Now, when somebody goes off on an operation today, say to Afghanistan, they have to do so many days in country before a medal can be awarded. However, for the First World War, the medals that you were awarded were based on the actual day you landed in the theatre. So, for example, if you landed between the 5th of August 1914 and the 22nd of November 1914, then you were issued the 1914 star. If you got the star, you got the two round medals. If you landed on the 23rd of November 1914 up to and including the 31st of December 1915, you then got the 1914-15 star. And again, if you landed and were qualifying for a star, you got the other two. If you landed from the 1st of January 1916 to the 11th of November 1918, then you were only entitled to the pair.
No campaign star?
No star. The soldiers had a nickname for these medals, and the true set that they were talking about was that one. And that is the 1914 star British War and a Victory Medal, and they called it Pip, Squeak and Wilfred. Now, Pip, Squeak and Wilfred were a cartoon in a newspaper. They were a rabbit, a dog and a penguin, which were like cuddly toys. But they were sort of tramps, and all of their possessions were kept in a pram. And they pushed their pram around and they tried to help people. And they were always tired, cold, wet, hungry, and everybody shouted at them.
As you were in the trenches.
And they thought, well, that sounds like us, doesn't it? Pip, Squeak and Wilfred. Now, if you were awarded the 1914-15 star, you also called it the Pip, Squeak and the Wilfred. But those men from the first battles of Mons and the retreat, they were very, very proud that theirs was the true Pip. And this sometimes is indeed called the Mons star. Now, if you only went out after 1916, you would imagine a Squeak and a Wilfred. But no, this is now Mutton Jeff. Now, Mutton Jeff was another cartoon. It was an American cartoon of two tramps who were drunks, ne'er-do-wells, always trying to go the easiest route around things. And what is really sad about this is that the men who got the stars, that's what they thought of the men who came after them in 16, 17 and 18.
Interesting.
In 1964, the BBC made a programme called The Great War. The man who made that would not interview anybody who didn't have Pip, Squeak and Wilfred, because he thought that if you only had Mutton Jeff, your stories weren't worth listening to. That's amazing, isn't it? Because these are the men who fought the Battle of the Somme, the Battle of Passchendaele, the German Spring Offensive, and the advance to victory. Their stories weren't worth having because they hadn't been there early on in the war.
How fascinating.
Mm. Now, another anomaly that we have, which is quite a rare thing, is this thing here. This is called the Territorial Force War Medal. The Territorial Army was created from the militia in 1908. And if you were in the Territorial Army when you signed on, you signed for home service only. So you couldn't be sent overseas. So when the war started on the 4th of August, they had this big trained army that they couldn't send anywhere. So they asked them to sign a new set of service papers called Imperial Service. And that meant you could be sent overseas. So the first of all, they were given this little badge. And as you can see, it says Imperial Service on it. And they wore it on this side of their jacket. If they went out in 1914 or 15, as some of them did, they got the star and the trio. But remember, if you only had a pair, you were despised. You hadn't tried hard enough. Mm. So the guys who were already in the army in 14, who didn't go out until 16 because they were training, only got the pair. And they said, well, that's not fair because we deserve the third medal.
Very much so, yeah.
So what they did for those men who volunteered on the 4th of August to go overseas, they introduced the Territorial Force War Medal, made of bronze. To give you some idea of rarity, I suppose, this one, the British War Medal, they gave 6.5 million of them during the First World War.
That was across the Commonwealth too?
Yeah, yeah. This one, 44,000. It's a tiny figure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the guys who wore this badge and that ribbon were something special, because they had been soldiers before the war. They just never got the opportunity to win those two stars.
Interesting.
It's an anomaly, but it's a very important anomaly.
But about these two stars is they have the same ribbon.
Yes. There was supposed to be a different ribbon for the 14-15 star, and there was proposed a Gallipoli star for those guys who fought in 1915 in the first month of January 16 in Gallipoli. They ran out of money. Simple as that. Yeah. Yep, they ran out of money. Yeah.
And just for the detail, how do we delineate? Because the two stars to me look very similar.
Okay. Well, if you look on here, on the middle bit, it says 1914, and here it says 1415. But here, additionally, it says August and November. So it really ties it down to those
first
months.
That was the BEF.
Months. Yeah, the BEF.
First, the first boys out there.
They landed 112,000 men strong on the 5th of August. And by the end of November, they'd lost 315,000 casualties.
Got it.
So they wiped themselves out three times over. Yeah. And it's just the reinforcements that came from the Empire. Not just Commonwealth soldiers, but soldiers who had been posted to India for 10, 12 years. They were brought back to fight in France.
Goodness. Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, the Great War is great for many reasons. For the terrible carnage, the trenches, everything that we know about. But so many of the guys who were killed, and the girls, bless them, they ended up with no known graves. Mm. And we see those incredible memorials out in Belgium, like the Meningate or Thiepval on the Somme, 73,400 names to the missing. But at home, everyone was going to be commemorated somehow. They ran a competition in a newspaper. A competition was won by a man called Edward Carter Preston. And he came up with the design for this thing, which is the bronze memorial plaque. Now, this commemorates every soldier, sailor, airman, merchant seaman, nurse from all over the Commonwealth who were killed during the First World War. And unfortunately, the Royal Arsenal at Woolwich in Building 10, which was called the Plaque Factory, made one for each person, and they made 1,333,000 of them.
Goodness.
Which is a huge number.
Huge number, yeah. Mm. Dreadful loss. And were they individually inscribed for each person?
Each one has his name on here and it's raised, so each one is individually made for that person.
Goodness gracious me. That's quite something, isn't it?
Now, when the Great War ended, it says on the back of this medal, the Victory Medal, the Great War for Civilization. And they believed it was the war to end all wars. But unfortunately, 20 years later, 1939, and if you really think about that dreadfully, the pause between the wars is nothing, but it's just long enough to grow a new set of soldiers.
Yes.
Because there's no one left.
So if you think about like today, 2020, go back to 2000, it's long enough.
Exactly.
And there, of course, is the fresh blood who wanted out there and earn their spurs.
Exactly.
Of course, then we come to the Second World War.
Here we go. Well, let's kneel down and look at these stars. So in World War II, there's basically a set of stars and two round medals that represent the whole of World War II. The first one that most people got if they were overseas is the 3945 star. Atlantic, Africa, Aircrew Europe, Italy, Burma, Pacific, France and Germany. Now, the two round ones are the 1939-45 Defence Medal, hardest medal in World War II to get, and then the 1939-45 War Medal. So basically, we win. It's a bit like the Victory Medal from World War I. Mm. The Defence Medal is hard to get because you have to spend 3 years in England. And it's not curtailed by death or wound. So if you're a service person and you're a Battle of Britain fighter pilot and you're killed in the Battle of Britain defending England, you don't get the medal because you didn't do 3 years. However, if you're in the Home Guard, ARP, something like that, then that's the medal that they got. Now, the big anomaly about all of these stars is they didn't put their names on them. And that's dreadful, because up to this point, pretty much every medal that we've looked at, as we've seen, has got somebody's name on it. So it's personal to them. But these, no names.
Of course, we'll come on to that in the next programme.
The box is all important.
Absolutely, yeah.
We move now to these. So if you grab hold of the other side of the tray for me, if we lift it up, we're going to come a little bit further up in time. So once World War II finished, the next big conflict is Korea, 1950-53.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the British medal for Korea. Then we have a time when most of the conflicts that the British Army are involved in are commemorated by a general service medal. So we're going right back to that idea of Queen Victoria,
yes,
of one medal with a clasp that represents the action you're in. So these two here, which the colours most people will be possibly familiar with, this purple-green-purple is 1918 to 62, so it covers all those years, and it has these clasps. So this one here is Brunei, for example.
96.
There are many of them. Yeah. Palestine 45, 48, also Cyprus. This one is the General Service Medal that goes from 1962 to 2007, and now we have a brand new one, which has a similar coloured ribbon, but it's so new we haven't managed to find one of those yet. Sure. But this one has the rarest clasp you can get, because this is the medal for the 70 men of the British Special Forces, really, who went to South Vietnam during the Vietnam War.
Interesting.
And we never even knew there were anyone there for that.
No, not at all.
Incredible. Yeah. This one, maybe some of us will recognise, this is the 1982 Falklands conflict.
With Rosette?
With Rosette.
Means the holder of that medal was actually there.
Means they landed on the island between specific dates. If you were on a ship, you could get this without the Rosette if you were in a certain area. Then we come up to date again with the First Gulf War, Iraq, Operation Telic Medal, and I'm sure lots of people will be familiar with the Operational Service Medal, Afghanistan. The idea of this was that it was going to be exactly the same medal every time, and you just changed the ribbon. So no clasps, just a new ribbon. Mm-hmm. But almost the second one they ever bought out, they put a clasp on it, and no one knows why. But it's what it is. Again, the ribbons denote the battles that you're in, and there's a whole new podcast we can do just on the ribbons. But there you go, that's brought us right up to date.
Mark, thank you so much once again for taking us through the medals of the last century and up to this very present day. The key thing to remember about the medals of the First World War was the horrors that were visited on the soldiers in the trenches. In the Second World War, that created ABF, the Soldiers' Charity, to ensure the welfare and the continuing welfare of our soldiers, our brave men and women who fight to defend our shores and keep us safe and sound in our beds at night. In programme 5 of this special series, specially prepared for ABF, the Soldiers' Charity, we talk about what's in a box. So continue to watch us, and I hope you enjoy the next programme.